right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth. This is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us today?
Yes, I do. So, top story this week, Harvey Weinstein has coronavirus, which, I mean, we'll discuss it. Many of the details are fuzzy. It doesn't appear that he was tested because he was showing symptoms, but rather because he was being held in one facility where there was an ongoing outbreak and he was going to be transferred to another on account of being convicted and all. So they wanted to make sure he wasn't a vector, which he was, and a rapist, who, again, has coronavirus. A representative for the Roswell UFO Festival announced that the festival, scheduled for early July, is still on, despite the coronavirus outbreak making it a spectacularly bad idea for people from all over to flock to a small town and gather in crowds. The thinking so far appears to be that perhaps the danger will have abated by then. Well, stranger things have happened, at least one of them in Roswell, New Mexico. And finally, there's an official petition on change.org to make Mothman the West Virginia state bird. Now, I'm not from West Virginia, but obviously I went ahead and signed it anyway. The current state bird is the Northern Cardinal, which I think we can all agree is a lame and stupid choice. Back to you, Chauncey.
Well, I am not surprised that there's a double dose of coronavirus news in the news. How do you get away from that? So let's start at the first one. Harvey Weinstein has coronavirus. You know, ever since I found this out, the song that's been stuck in my head is Instant Karma by John Lennon.
Sure.
You know, and so it's just so funny. When I heard it, it was funny. Now, don't get me wrong. The guy's a rapist, and he's fully taken advantage of tons of people. But as a person who cares about people, I don't wish ill will on anybody. So I have this hard problem in myself where half of me is just all like, yeah, screw that guy. And the other half of me is like, you're a terrible human being, Chauncey. You know, so I'm having a hard time rectifying, you know, sort of putting the two of these together, concatenating these into me.
But, well, I hope he doesn't infect anyone else. It would just be classic Harvey Weinstein if his last act in this world was to give coronavirus to some nonviolent drug offender who, you know, did nothing
right.
wrong.
Yeah,
some, you know, that would right. classic Weinstein.
Some 22-year-old girl.
Yeah, exactly.
Right, exactly, yeah. Yeah.
Oh, as if they, yeah. I guess if she was a prison guard, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe there are multiple people in the chain.
Maybe if he were to force his disease on people on purpose.
That also sounds like him,
yeah,
frankly.
Yeah, that's his MO. That's Harvey. We know that guy.
Yeah, exactly. Classic Harvey.
And then outside of that, the canceled Roswell, New Mexico Festival. That's sad. Our friend William
It is
Poland.
Sad. We've talked about it a few times. William
goes,
talked about it, yeah.
Yeah, he goes every year. That's like his social outlet. He, like, saves up every year to go see his friends.
To be clear, though, it is not canceled.
It will be.
Well, yes, but as of now, they're saying it's still on.
Right.
That's the news. Because I think, like I said, they're counting on it, on the outbreak kind of being over by then, which obviously it won't be.
Well, I guess it might be. There's still a chance that there's a seasonal factor in this. There's still
maybe.
A chance that, and if we can.
Yeah, but you know, Australia, it's summer in Australia right now. They still have a rip-roaring outbreak. You know, the Southern Hemisphere is having coronavirus.
Yeah, like, but God's been trying to wipe Australians off the earth for decades.
I mean, I want to make fun of you and say that's not a good argument.
I'm kidding.
But that's kind
they
of a good argument.
They do have all the poisonous animals. You know?
I mean, Australia is. Earlier this year, I mean, much of the country was sterilized with flame. So.
Yeah, that's true. That's
and by
true.
Country, I mean continent.
Man, the most messed up thing, this is totally off topic. The most messed up thing about that is, didn't we talk about the cats? like the 2 million cats. So in Australia, when the fires were happening, they had a huge problem with animals who were trying to survive that were hurt and injured coming out of the fires. Like 2 million house cats, like, swarmed on the area in order to eat the
wheat. That's terrifying.
Yeah. Literally 2 million.
2 million house cats is, I don't think I could take them.
No, that'll dark, that'll darken the skies, man.
That's
like
just some, a wall of fur and claws.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy town. Crazy, crazy. And then the last thing in the news, change.org, West Virginia, the new bird. I agree the Northern Cardinal is, you know, everything's relative.
Can't hold a candle to Mothman, though, right?
Maybe in a world, maybe in a world of crows and sparrows, the Northern Cardinal is an impressive bird. But, you know, now is
Mothman can keep pace with cars. Is Point Pleasant
even in West Virginia?
Yes.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yes, that's why they're trying to make Mothman.
That's what I was thinking, but I thought it was because we had Lon Strickler on talking about Chicago. I thought they were a little closer.
The Chicago sightings are very interesting because it's very similar to the Mothman sightings, just in Chicago all of a sudden, and, you know, more than a half century later. You know, you get all these crazy Mothman sightings in West Virginia for a few years, then nothing for 50 years, and then a ton of sightings in Chicago now. Make of that what you will. I don't know what to make of it.
Unfortunately, this is probably in the news segment. It's not the greatest place to put this out there, but I seem to remember somebody, no, wasn't it in another country that got Bigfoot on as an endangered animal?
I don't know.
There've actually been like two. I caught this in the news twice, and I chased the article back, and they were real. Like somehow they pushed this through, you know.
I vaguely remember what you're talking about, actually, now that you mention it, but I don't really remember the details. I know that like Scotland has a national animal as a unicorn or something like that. So naming fictional creatures to high office, relatively speaking, not unprecedented.
They might not be fictional, too. I mean, you can't say that you've never asked yourself what a unicorn hamburger tastes like.
I don't know. I feel like there's so many accounts of unicorns. Like, when you go back to the original accounts of unicorns from the Middle Ages, they're talking about rhinos.
Rhinos? What a weird
It's obvious when you read the accounts, because they don't talk about, you know, they're like, it's like a horse.
Right.
It's really fat and it's huge and it has one horn. You know, it's when you really look into it, unicorns are just.
So it ended up being all magical and mystical, but here's how I see this going. I saw a horse with a single horn and somebody else going, that's so majestic and magical. And then the person who did the sighting is going, it kind of needed to go on a diet. You know, it looked like it had mange. And it was really pissed off. You know, there's nothing magical about this.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff like that. The questing beast, you know, the description, you know, long snake-like neck, you know, horse-like hooves, but with a leopard's hide. It's a giraffe.
Okay, well, I want you to keep this open-mindedness going, because up next here on Radio Wasteland, our guest is Ronald Moorhead, and we are talking about Quantum Bigfoot. Is Bigfoot
finally
an alien visitor traveling through dimensions? Come on back. You're listening to Radio Wasteland.
some things in life you can just rely on, like the comfy fit of a favorite pair of jeans and the tried and true performance of a new home comfort system from Rood. So here's to reliability built into everything we do. Rely on Rood.
Get reliable comfort when the weather turns cold with a new heating system installed by the local pros at Alliance Heating and Air. Call Alliance Heating and Air today at 530-221-2642.
Alan Gordon here, Coachmaster Collision. In our 50 years in business, we've met many interesting people. One customer complained the car pulled hard to the right. When I inspected the car, I noticed a small bag of rocks tied to the left side of her steering wheel. The customer stated that on long trips, the rocks would counteract the pull. Problem solved. Only temporarily, though. The pull was easily repaired with suspension adjustments and a wheel alignment, despite being told by another shop the vehicle had major frame problems. Having confidence and trust in the professionalism of who is repairing your vehicle is sometimes the greatest struggle. When this customer has a problem with a car, she calls Coachmaster. If the issue isn't our specialty, I'm glad to recommend the best qualified company. After all, this is my customer. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Remember Coachmaster on Eastside Road, serving the Reading community since 1969. Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
A jewel of the North State, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
Radio Wasteland comes to you from the Reading studios of Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM and AM 1460. Visit Radio Wasteland at Instagram at instagram.com/Radio Wasteland. All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Ronald Moorhead. We're talking about the Quantum Bigfoot, bringing science and spirituality together. How are you doing this evening, Ronald?
Doing fantastic. Thanks for asking. Wow. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, thank you for coming. You know, I think the very first question one has is, you know, there's those combinations that you just never expect to see in the wild, and that would be quantum and
Bigfoot yeah.
together in a title. So maybe you can just start us out by explaining why the quantum Bigfoot. What are we getting at here?
Well, what we're getting at is, as many of your listeners may know, I encounter these creatures in the Sierra Nevadas, to the east of you there, south. And this was in the 70s, and we started recording their vocalizations and having some mysteries around them, too, which I didn't talk about for a long time. Just anomalies, things you couldn't explain with classical science. Al Berry, who was the investigative reporter from Reading, actually. He worked for the Record Searchlight, the newspaper then. And we invited him to camp, thinking he was going to find a hoax because it's kind of an incredible story. But he heard the sounds and thought they were worth listening or investigating. So we took him into camp in 1972. He ended up recording sounds and still thinking they were hoaxes. Somebody had to hoax us, but this is 8,400 feet elevation, and it's 8 miles into the wilderness. It's really an imposing trail to get to, an imposing area. Gorgeous area, though. It's beautiful. And so anyway, he went in, and he had some experiences, too, along with us. And he ended up having those recordings checked by Dr. Curlin, Professor Curlin at the University of Wyoming. He did a year-long study and established the sounds were credible. They weren't manipulated. They weren't speeded up, slowed down.
Or identifiable, I assume.
They were above and below and in between, all over the scope of vocalizations and way outside the human scope of what we can do. And that was interesting, but it wasn't what academia needed. So we kept on, and but there was other anomalies going on up there, lights and sounds that we could not identify, very, very unusual sounds outside of what you could explain with classical science, like I say. And Halberry had a master's degree in science, and he said that whatever you do, try to stay with science on this thing, or you'll never be able to get anybody to listen to you. So I started reaching in, well, how does science explain this? How do they explain lights going by you and things like that going on? And these sounds like your camp's being tore apart, and you look outside this little shelter we had there, and nothing's changed, and you don't know how to put your finger on that. It's like trying to nail a jello to the wall, you know, so... Anyway, that got me into looking into quantum physics because I realize, and everybody does, I think, we live in a three-dimensional environment, a three-dimensional world, but there's more dimensions according to physics. So I think it was Nikola Tesla said that what one man calls God, another man calls quantum physics.
Yeah.
So those who have thrown religion away out outside the door because they didn't go with religion, believe it or not, you're a spiritual being, according to Stephen Hawking and according to Einstein. Energy, which we are all made of at the most minute level, does not die. It only changes form. So religions will call that heaven. Quantum physics calls that dimensions. There are at least 11 established by mathematics of quantum physics. And so anyway, I started looking into that, and it started coming together for me. It started answering some of the questions I had. So, and I think, and it was a doctor, who's the astronaut? He was Mitchell, Edgar Mitchell. He said it takes classical and quantum sciences together to have clear perception. I think that's a pretty good thing to hear.
Yeah. I mean, quantum science, you know, is science in its most extreme form of basically measuring things without using any of your human senses.
Yeah, it's probably the least intuitive in some ways because you're dealing with, you know, small scales where we just don't have the experience of how it works exactly.
So I get what he's saying because there's no way to really understand. I mean, even me setting my hand on the table, we don't understand what's going on without looking quantumly at it. So the way we're going here is that Bigfoot is interdimensional.
That's pretty much what we're trying to say here.
Yeah.
I believe that because I've interviewed people for 50 years now. This happened to me. Mm-hmm. I've been doing this for right at 50 years and I hear these people say they saw one disappear. Just kind of like hot spot in the pavement or something, you see it vibrating up. For a long time, I discarded that because nothing can just disappear, but that's not true. Things can go out of our perception. We see within a frequency of light. Everything is frequency, either energy, frequency, and vision. So that's just the laws of physics. And when you get into what we are as energy beings, it's just mixed. Comes around and you get to kind of understand it a little bit because if these things can somehow change their matter into energy, you wouldn't see them anymore. We only see within light's frequency, and that's very small. Animals can see better than we can as far as frequencies go, and you get into all the frequencies that are out there. It's just makes kind of sense to me, and that's why I got into it. So.
Yeah, so, you know, the first thing that this makes me think of is over the years, I've heard two parallels to this. Somebody saying, I don't remember where I heard it, somebody saying that Bigfoot was an interdimensional being that was looking for gold specifically is what this person said. And then on the other side,
that's right.
Yeah, on the other side, there is somebody saying that the Loch Ness Monster is actually traveling through portals because of quartz in the ground, allowing it to travel through time, basically. So I guess my question with what you're thinking is the dimensional travel that you propose that Bigfoot is doing, is he doing it on purpose or is it accidental?
It's on purpose. He can change his vibrational frequency to a higher level and go out of our perception.
And so would we consider him sentient?
Oh, very much so.
So yeah. Not like an animal, but like
he's sapient, like us.
Sapient, yeah, there you go.
They're probably a hybrid. Most of them are. Let me say this up front, too. I don't believe they're all of the same genome, because we all pretty much believe aliens have been here over eons. We've been visited by UFOs. They're being reported now quite regularly. And I think that probably different types of aliens have corrupted or manipulated the DNA of different type beings on this Earth. Primate manipulated them. They have attributes that we are trying to understand now. And that's where the dogman comes from, I think, because they can manipulate an animal, too. And look at the Egyptian history, and you can see, a dog head on a man, or you see a unicorn, whatever.
Yeah,
but I think that's all of that's got a core of truth to it. If you start looking into it, what really makes sense? And if you look even at the biblical history or historical history like that, you got alien beings corrupting the genome of humans. And that's what brought in the giants. And if you want to get into the religious part here, it gets into the Nephilim, which were giants, and they were corrupting the human genome, which basically, I think, there's a hybridization program going on now, I believe. And so there's most MUFON people that I'm acquainted with think there's probably a hybridization program going on by aliens. And that gets their genome, their species, indoctrinated into this atmosphere, this environment, this Earth's environment. I'm not sure they do so well. I don't know. It's all speculation now. Of course, Bob thinks I'm saying speculation, but it's based on 50 years of researching this.
Colonoscopy is the most effective method of screening for colon cancer and is the only procedure that can both detect and prevent cancer in just one procedure. Take-home tests can miss up to 1 in 12 of colon cancers and most precancerous polyps. These tests do not prevent colon cancer. Only a colonoscopy can do that by removing polyps before they become cancerous. When caught early, the survival rate of colon cancer is 90%. This public service message is brought to you by Reading Endoscopy Center. Call them at 530-246-7000 or visit readingendoscopy.com.
Hi, I'm Chuck Kenny with Shasta Gas Propane and Shasta Tanks. Many people may not know that we started a propane tank refurbishing business about 5 years ago. We pick up tanks from various propane companies, bring them to our yard in Anderson, where we blast the old paint and rust off, repaint them with a very durable paint, and then install new valves. The tank is just like a new tank. We primarily sell these tanks in truckloads of 45 to other propane companies. I'm telling you about our new business because many of you are installing generators because of the probability of the power being shut off this summer. Shasta Gas Propane now sells standby generators and propane tanks so that you won't be left without power. Give us a call at 365-3793 so we can come to your house and give you a quote on a generator and tank. Again, that's 365-3793.
Hi, this is Senior Chief Rob Burrows with the Northern California Veterans Museum and Heritage Center, and I am your host every Saturday morning from 9 to 11 with Battlefield Expressions. Battlefield Expressions is where we talk about veterans issues, advocacy for our community, and those in our community who help support our veterans. Once again, join me every Saturday morning from 9 to 11, Battlefield Expressions on KCNR 96.5 and 1460 AM.
This Hawaiian mini vacation is brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning. So what does professional office cleaning have to do with relaxing in a tropical paradise? Frankly, nothing. But Maui Bob and the crew want to remind you to be sure to take the time for what's important in this workaday world. Family, friends, and yes, even yourself. And if their professional office cleaning services can help you make that time, give them a call at 221-5868. This Hawaiian mini vacation was brought to your radio by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, 221-5868.
You're listening to Chauncey and Kara on Radio Wasteland right here on 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. That's Free Fire Radio. And don't forget to follow Radio Wasteland on Facebook at facebook.com/radiowasteland.us. You are listening to Ronald Moorhead here on Radio Wasteland as we discuss Quantum Bigfoot.
I imagine that with MUFON people, they tend to try to, or I imagine that they tend to try to chase paperwork stuff, that that a Bigfoot that's considered a sapient alien is maybe a hard pill to swallow for some of these people because they kind of view it like an animal. Do you find that this is something that people in that field are receptive to?
Yeah, they do. They think it's an animal. A lot of researchers think it's just an animal running around the woods, and they got camera traps sitting out there, which aren't doing them much good, but occasionally they get a glimpse of something. There's a lot of money being made there from the people that sell the camera traps.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
But I know.
I wonder if they're like the evil corporate guys behind Big Bigfoot, pushing camera traps.
These researchers are well intentioned. They're good people. I know
they are. No, I know they are.
And a lot of them are just going the classical way, like I used to. And until you've had experiences like I've experienced, and it's more than once. With these anomalies that goes on around them, you can't open your mind up to what could be. And I just really try to encourage these people to open their minds and realize there's more going on than what they can perceive with their eyes.
Right. Well, you alluded to your experience, your initial experience from back in the 70s, and you alluded to it to being quite a tale. Tell me that tale.
Well, the first experience or all of them? I mean, I could go back. My last one was in 2016, so.
At the beginning of our conversation, you alluded to one that was extreme, truly, truly unbelievable. But let's go with the first one. That's probably always the most shocking.
Well, they're very aggressive sounding. We think we might have been in their territory. Again, we're 8 miles in the wilderness. This camp has been there since the 50s. The Johnsons have been there hunting since the 50s, 58, when they started. So we're not sure if these things have been watching them and just observing them, and came in for the food that one night, and that's what started all, because I found the track and in the mud. And it just kind of, it frightens you a little bit because the sounds are very aggressive, and they, of course, didn't have recorders. They're up there just speculating, watching the camps, the deer population, what have you. So they came out, told the rest of us, or told the other hunters. I wasn't a hunter at the time, and they went up and experienced the same thing. These things came back in. And you hear the chest beating, you hear the big snarling sounds, and wow, it really throws you because the amplitude is so big. One of the guys got scared off. He just left the next day, left a note saying, I'll see you guys at home. He took off. He just frightened him so much. He was very religious. Religious. And he didn't know where to put this in his religious circles, because the Nephilim are not around anymore, right?
And they were in the Book of Enoch for the most part.
So. Oh, absolutely, yeah. Which is not canonized, but it's acceptable. A lot of people accept it. Bible scholars do.
The Apocrypha, yeah.
Yeah, and so anyway, you get into that, Greek mythology and all that, and it goes on, and I just encourage people to check into it besides just close their minds saying it's a bunch of woo-woo or something, because it's not woo-woo. Quantum physics is the way things actually work throughout the universe, from the most minute level of our existence all the way through the end of the universe. So somebody answered me the question of how far it is to the end of the universe, and that'll squeeze your mind a little bit.
Yeah, the answer is beyond that there's nothing, so it's all the way. The answer is all the way.
There you go. Good answer.
All of it.
However far it is, that's how far it is. So what do these things sound like? We've talked about how terrifying the sound is. I don't expect you to hoot and holler into your mic, but can you describe to me what that sound is?
No, you have to hear it. I should have sent you some sound bites. I got them. They're very available, and I could have done that, but still, if you hear it, it sounds like just something, and you hear them talking to each other communicating in a very aggressive, very rapid, that's the best way to describe it. They're very rapid, very, very, very high-pitched. I shouldn't say high-pitched. This rapid is the best way. And that's the same. Albert Ostman, supposedly, in 1924, was kidnapped by a Bigfoot and held captive for 6 days. That's in John Green's book, The Apes Among Us. And he witnessed him before he escaped, talking, and the story has been deemed very credible because he went into such detail of how he escaped and all of the things he went through. He said they were chatting amongst themselves, so that means they were communicating. Well, all animals communicate, but these things communicate with a language, and a cryptolinguist, Scott Nelson, got a hold of my sounds in 2008, asked if he could study them. He just by accident found them on the BFRO, and he heard it, and he thought he heard language within the sound. So he studied them, came out, and actually interviewed me and Al Berry, and found the context of the sounds, so what was going on, and he went back and studied them. And he made a statement. He said, these things have a complex language. And he's a Navy cryptolinguist, retired from the Navy as a cryptolinguist. He studies and teaches foreign languages now in Missouri. And very credible. I didn't know a guy like that existed, but when he came forth and said that just brought it to another level again, because according to Dr. Lieberman, 1968, he made a statement, only humans have the vocal capability, which means the hyoid bone here, which connects to the tongue, nerves into the brain, which gives us the creative sapient talk we're doing now in this state. So other animals on the face of this planet are supposed to have that attribute. Just humans. So everything communicates, but not with language like we're doing now.
Yeah, I read some article that basically said that chimps had the ability to do it, and then it used their vocal cord structure and structured the chimp and created what the chimp would sound like if it was able to talk. And for some totally just sadistic reason. They had it say something like, "Will you marry me?" You know, and
yeah,
so
it was pretty horrifying.
I would play it over and over to my wife, and it would like just absolutely just terrify her.
Yeah, take yours on that one.
Stop doing it. Yeah, yeah. So in your writings and research, you know, you talk about four types of sex. Watch communication. You know, what is that referring to?
Well, I don't know that I talked about four types of communication, but there are types of communication. Some of it is stick structures, which we weren't looking for up there, but a lot of people come out with that now. They look for stick structures.
I get it.
Which is a way of telling another one, following you, which way you're going or what to do. So I'm like, if they're of the same mindset. You've got that. You've got mind speak, which a lot of people ascribe to that because we all have mind speak. It's who we are. I mean, telepathy, if that exists, which it does, we've had sense of things, and science doesn't know how to quite answer that. Quantum science does. And you've got, of course, the verbal communication, like I've experienced, like I've recorded. So that's three. What's the fourth one? Let's see. I don't know. There's three.
Yeah.
Three's plenty.
Well, I don't know. If some of these sightings are accurate, the fourth one would be pheromones, I guess.
The what?
Pheromones.
Oh, there you go. Well, yeah. Pheromones is a way of communicating. It's a way of attracting, yeah. Infrasound's another one. We don't hear those things or see those things ourselves, but I know when I run into something like, I call it a force field in my book, Voices in the Wilderness, Warren Johnson and I were walking up to where one of these things had to be behind this huge tree that we was walking towards. We heard him sounding off while I was inside the shelter, and we jumped out. We thought, well, we'll see this thing run away because we can kind of bowl then. These things weren't eating us and weren't carrying us away. So we thought we were going to be safe. We start walking up there. We're probably 15 feet apart. And all of a sudden we both get stopped by what I describe as a force field, like you see in Star Trek or something. It couldn't move forward. And he looked at me and I don't know what you, I can't go anymore. And I said, I can't either. And it had to be behind that tree right there. So I mentioned this to Dr. Leroy Fish, who's now passed away too, and he said, we can't deal with your emotions and your feelings and stuff like that. I said, well, we weren't afraid at that time. We were just walking up there wanting to see this thing run away. He said, well, it has to be the pheromones or infrasound. Infrasound will affect humans, and that's sounds that we can't hear, but that's been used throughout, Hitler used that to control some crowds sometimes, infrasound. Ultrasound is above what we can hear. That's what dog whistles are made and stuff like that. Pheromones only work within the same species. So at the time, it has to be infrasound that stopped us because something stopped us. And, I mean, it happened to me one other time in the woods, too, when I wasn't even thinking about Bigfoot. I was up there, and bam, he just got stopped. And that's, I think, now that we know that, or think we know that they are part human, and I do think that's most of a lot of them are, there could have been a pheromone that stopped us.
Reading Civic Auditorium brings a wide variety of shows to the North State. Go to readingcivic.com and join their mailing list for free. Get early access to tickets and first dibs on the best seats in the house. Grab a drink with friends at the fully stocked bar or locally roasted coffee, snacks, and other beverages at the River Rock Cafe. Enjoy lidded beverages throughout the auditorium at every show. If you want to know about the best concerts coming to the North State, go to readingcivic.com to learn more.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004. But our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
Tobacco and Brew, located at 2143 Hilltop Drive, has been an integral part of our community for over 40 years. They have supported the veterans, law enforcement, fire and disaster survivors throughout this whole time. Tobacco and Brew has expanded their walk-in humidor and brought to the North State new lines of fine cigars, pipes, and tobacco products. Additionally, they are offering a pipe bar to try out new tobacco for taste and aroma. Tobacco and Brew is your one-stop shop for any tobacco product and accessories to include lighters, humidors, pouches, and more. Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive.
Reading Electric Utility cares about the whole community, and we offer an income-qualified residential energy discount program that can save you up to $400 a year on your energy bill. And once per year, CARES bill credit up to $300. To find out if your income qualifies you for a residential discount program and CARES program, call 339-7200. That number again is 339-7200.
No one plans to visit the emergency room, but when life's accidents happen, you need on-time, first-rate medical attention. Shasta Regional Medical Center, located at 1100 Butte Street in downtown Reading, has the fastest possible transit and admission of emergency patients. We at Shasta Medical Center are dedicated to all patients who need care, regardless of their ability to pay. Shasta Regional Medical Center, delivering patient-centered health care with compassion, dignity, and respect for every patient and their family.
You're listening to Free Fire Radio, 96.5 FM, 1460 AM. You're listening to Radio Wasteland with Chauncey and Kara. Find all our shows and archives by visiting Radio Wasteland at radiowasteland.us. You are listening to Ronald Moorhead here on Radio Wasteland as we discuss Quantum Bigfoot.
With, you know, Bigfoot and its connection to aliens, do we think that Bigfoot is currently interacting on any way with these aliens? Do we have any reason to think that? We're making the assumption that they're connected on a hybridization level. We're making the assumption that abductions and stuff happen because we're believing the accounts. So do we have anything that ties the two together?
No.
As far as experience?
We have a 1888 report, actually, out of Reading? No, not Reading. That's where you're at. Eureka, Arcata area.
Yeah,
a rancher, yeah, and some Indians saw this big UFO. They didn't call it a UFO. And three crazy bears got out of it. And that's and ran off. You've like also got reports that 20% of UFO sightings have a Bigfoot in them. That's pretty alarming. I interviewed
really?
A guy just in 2009.
Let me. 20% of UFO sightings.
20% of Bigfoot sightings have UFOs.
Oh, 20% of Bigfoot sightings have a UFO.
Yeah.
That's a big number, you know, especially because, like, if somebody were to catch me, and I know this is a ridiculous comparison, but if somebody were to see me while walking around town, it would be way less than 20% that I was within eyeshot of my car. You know, which arguably the UFO is the Bigfoot's car if they're together, you know, and 20%, that is a really high number.
It is. I got that off of some newspaper, Huffington Post or someplace in my research. And I thought that was pretty alarming, too. I had no idea. But I did, I was going to mention, I did interview a firefighter last year who had to get a hold of me because he'd experienced, and not too far from where our camp is, I say not too far, probably 15, 20 miles as a crow flies. And he'd been experiencing a Bigfoot, but he thought he better get a hold of somebody that could help him explain something else that happened to him. Hunter, very credible guy. He actually seen a UFO at the same time hovering over this mountain in the daytime. He watched it for probably 30 minutes, and it's connected with a Bigfoot. He's seen the Bigfoot come out from behind a tree. He had ran a deer across this meadow, and the deer just froze just like that and shot back beside him. And he might be listening to this program right now. I better be careful. I won't tell his name, though. But he said, that doesn't happen. So he figured there was something over there. So he starts looking, and this Bigfoot comes out and stands there. So I seen his leg, and I seen his body. And he said, it was huge. It had to be at least 4 foot wide in the shoulders and 10, 12 foot tall. Huge one. And that's what we've had up at our camp, those big ones like that. And he said it just walked off. But what he wouldn't tell me until later on when he got to know me is that one leg he didn't see cloaked into another leg. And I said, well, how big was the tree it came behind? He said, that's the strange part, too. It was only 2 foot round, the tree he came from behind. However, if they are energy and they are cloaking like that from mass to energy and energy back into mass through their vocal mechanism, which is my theory, they could actually energize within the tree because it takes energy. Some of these pops you hear, which I've heard, not just a banging on a tree, but a pop, a real loud crack. It's their energy, I think, and it's coming possibly out of a tree. I've had other people tell me, you know, that even the Native Americans say they live in trees. They live in two worlds. Well, where do you go with that?
Yeah.
So when you're saying the pop, you know, I don't actually, I'm not a learned Bigfoot. And it's funny. So when we deal with biology, you know, there's mainstream science and then there's cryptids. And then we get down to Bigfoot and everything's divided. There's mainstream Bigfoot and then there's other Bigfoot. In mainstream Bigfoot, they referred to it as knocking. And on the shows and stuff, you'll see them knocking on something with wood. That's what you're referring to, right?
That's what I'm referring to. I know they do that. I mean, I witnessed that. I've recorded that. It's on my second CD, the wood knockings rhythmically, too. But I'm saying in 2011 when I was up there, I was, well, I like to say this, I went in by myself, which I'm not supposed to do, shouldn't do, because you don't know what you're dealing with still. But I've been up there three times with the cryptolinguist trying to corroborate some sounds again, and nothing happened while he was there, except our batteries were going dead. So there's definitely something going on with the energy of these things. But I went up there by myself. I had a guy scheduled to go with me, but he backed out the last minute. And I've got to tell you, the mosquitoes were so bad, I had set up this little tent, got inside of it, and was trying to be at peace. And I heard this crack outside. It sounded like a gunshot going off. In my book, The Voices of the Wilderness, I relate that as a wood knock. But I've wondered now, it was so loud, it was like a gunshot going off right outside my tent. And I've thought, and since then, I've talked to people, different people, who say they've seen them come out of trees and go into trees. Well, that really sounds out there. I know it does.
But it does, but even with a gun, what we're really hearing is the tiny equivalent of a sonic boom. So it's like...
Yeah, and I just think it could be the energy transferring one from one to another. Not everything is a tree knock, and I've never heard of anyone who has seen one hitting on a tree, not even me, even though I've heard them doing it when they were around, but I've never saw that. So who knows? There's so many mysteries still tied up in this field of Bigfootology, I call it.
Bigfootology, that's perfect, you know, and there's nothing I love more than a mystery, and you know, we've really had, I don't know, we've been doing this for almost 3 years, I think, and we've had like two or three Bigfoot guests on, and this has definitely been the most engaging one. Okay, this is the only one that I've enjoyed, all the other ones.
Oh, good.
Yeah. you know, but, you know, there's something about Bigfoot and there's something about aliens, not aliens, ghosts. Bigfoot and ghosts are the two that we all seem to know somebody who's experienced. Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's really sort of the fun of these topics. So it's been a lot of fun having you on the show. I've really enjoyed our conversation. You know, ultimately, we've been talking about your book, The Quantum Bigfoot, Bringing Science and Spirituality Together. Will you take a second and tell our audience where they can get their hands on that and where they can find out more about you?
Yeah, ronmorehead.com. That's M-O-R-E-H-E-A-D, ronmorehead.com. And they can find all my, both my books, The Voices of the Wilderness, which has a CD, downloads, or you can get the actual CD if you want it. With it. So when I get to the context of sound, my chronicle of doing this for 40 some odd years. And that's available on my website, along with my CDs and the Quantum Bigfoot. Also, is available on Amazon. And I sell a lot of downloads. You can download any of this stuff too.
Well, it's really been a lot of fun, and I really appreciate you coming on the show.
Well, thank you.
We have had a lot of fun.
Yeah, it's fun. I enjoy it. Yeah, I do. Yeah.
And earlier you brought up, you know, isn't this fun? And I have a hard time sometimes connecting with people who like the things that I like, because they tend to get so serious that they don't recognize the fun. Don't get me wrong. You can believe wholeheartedly while also enjoying the mystery of something. And yeah. I really appreciate that. Great way to put it.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being with you.
All right. You've been listening to Ronald Morehead here on Radio Wasteland.
Sierra Sounds.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.